I Ain't a Cat by Soleri, fandom Farscape, read by Claire Shadows. I ain't a cat. I ain't a cat and I ain't crazy. It's what's behind me that I am. It's the idea behind me, Ignatz, and that's what I am. George Herriman, Crazy Cat. John is very quiet now. Nobody touches him. Diago is there, but the hand that used to clap his shoulder now threatens a gentle sympathy that makes John's teeth ache and his eyes blur. He stopped ducking away only because Diago has stopped trying. Gianna calls him old man, in that voice that shivers as always on the margin, narrow in her mind, not so much in John's, between siblings and sex. But she keeps her arms to herself, jointed even more akimbo than usual with wariness, and gazes darkly at through past him to things he won't see for another hour or a day. Even the here-now focus of her black eye slides across him, searching, like he's a monument to someone she used to know. Rigel doesn't come to enumerate John's possessions. John is nitro in a bottle, or the Uncharted Territories equivalent. They just have to carry him. Gently, gently. Erin walking with measured steps down the peacekeeper red carpet, with her shoulder a careful handspan from his, and drop him at Scorpius's feet. In the pod's co-pilot seat, John makes a boom gesture with his hands. Erin watches him sidelong. John can pick the exact moment when he began to think of Erin's gaze as an exquisite blade. "Frel, baby," he says under his breath, and rubs at the spot over his heart. In all the weirdness and back-assed fucked-upness of his life, he's become a cliché. But they're here with him, all of them, hostages to fortune, and he's playing dice with the universe. Yada yada. The wonder of it, wormholes. Wormholes, for the love of God, summed up in tired sores and plus could change. He'd laugh if it didn't make him so tired. He can feel an elegance unspooling inside him as he sits at the grown-up table, and the wormhole gapes below the command carrier, and the command carrier sings like a tuning fork, and the emptiness between jitters with unresolved dissonance. Scorpius' graphic program is so bang on it gives John vertigo. Inside out, outside in, my side, your side. Stark knew, in his hysterical insistence on delineation, he knew what it was to have no margins, to bleed, to lose the ever-helpful you are here. Just like they do in his head, the equations curve across the screen, unfurling luminous blue lashes of space-time, force, friction, mass, playing out in the sinuous sweetness of motion. The way Erin's hair used to fall over her shoulder in the early days, when she was undone and becoming, before she put herself together again, sleek and seamless, on the other side of grief. God, it's beautiful. The command carrier is cold, but John's hands are clammy in his gloves. When Scorpius shook his hand, John could feel the heat through the two layers of black leather. He wonders if it's Scorpius he feels now, too, the bracelet feeding him that humming, slightly twisted sizzle of arousal. He wonders if Scorpius can feel what John feels as the equations bloom, like someone's pried open the doors of his chest and light is pouring out, like the first lazy strokes making blood surge beneath a practiced hand. This is the good stuff, baby. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't... Fuck me, fuck! The tech in the corner stares openly. No, that doesn't compute, does it, PK Tech? That's good old Earth invective there, and it feels good too. No curved edges, sharp like an axe. She bends to pick up the stool that clatters and rolls over the edge of the dais where John bolts to his feet. Strapper gets out of his way. John can feel the blue flutter of distress following him out of the lab. But Strapper stays put. Dear Dad, I've learned some lessons here. One of them is this. It ain't no fun getting cock-blocked by a cold war. Love your son, John. Miklobracca, John says, catching the sour smell of the words as they rebound in the small space between his mouth and the bulkhead. He resists swapping his forehead against the strut, but just barely. Scorpy's getting enough of a show from the bracelet as it is. And as much as John would love to add a headache to it, he's tired of sharing. What do you want? His gloves squeak as his bracing fists open and his fingers stiffen against the metal, pushing him far enough away so that he can turn to see Bracca standing there in the narrow alcove at parade rest with that smug, not smile on his face. What? Scorpius thought you might need. Bracket's smile turns insinuating as his eyes do a quick slide along the seams where John's peacekeeper black stands out with a limbing of light against the dry blood red of the bulkhead. Assistance. The smile looks kind of regulation to John's eye, but he figures there probably isn't any other kind. There is. But it can't happen here, in the tin can, the ant farm, 50,000 soldiers in lockstep. Aaron had never been alone. John can feel them all, a steady drone under the irregular skelter of his own heart. Shh, he said to her, when the fake rain melted the fake Australian sky, and they lay together in the grey light of a made-up world. Listen. Her head on his chest, her thumb drumming in time against his ribs. Thump, 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 thump. Hers was different. Instead of laughing, John sucks in a slow breath and lets it sift out again. The equations are twisted at the base of his skull, a low, throbbing pressure. God, he could... What? Bracca's close enough that John can see himself in Bracca's steady eyes. He wouldn't even have to take a step. To kill him? To push him back against the bulkhead at the other side of the alcove and... His head is too full. No one has touched him since he stood in Pilot's den and told them he was going to come to the command carrier. They carry him carefully between them, but they can't touch him. Not until he's done what he's come to do. Inside the peacekeeper leathers, he's sweating. Bracca can see it, probably thinks it's delirium, has no other way of reading it. But he stands too, ever the good soldier, following orders, taking one for the team. John holds up his hand, close to Bracca's eyes, and finger by finger pulls off his glove. He watches Bracca's face as the glove comes off. There's something there. After all, that's not quite regulation. A light flicking on, but it has nothing to do with this striptease or this small bit of exposed skin, sweaty, human. No. The equations curl down his fingers, between the tendons on the back of his hand, and disappear under the cuff of his jacket sleeve. He doesn't know how far they go, because he can't remember writing them. He was sure he never took the jacket off. He'd been buckled into it, zipped up, locked down, closed off, since he stepped on the transport pod. But there they are, marching around his wrist and across the pulse points, and on, under, in, vertigo, inside, outside, in. The symbols wreathe a little in the ruddy light as John turns his hand before Brackett's eyes. The tightening in his gut and his groin might be his. Or it might be ancient mojo getting its groove on. But it's Scorpius now, isn't it? The bracelet whispers inaudibly, telling secrets. My side, your side, my side, your side. He imagines himself grabbing Bracca by the face and forcing him to his knees, My side, your side. Something flares in Bracca's eyes. Something John's seen in Erin right before she ducks a blow. My side. John imagines smashing him in the face. He imagines grinding against him. He imagines Scorpius on the other end of the cyber connection. He imagines. No, it's not imagination. The Scorpius in his head, fucking with his basal responses, hiding lies. Your side. He imagines being alone. That makes him laugh. Bracca, John says, letting his hand close gently around the lieutenant's jaw. I didn't know you cared. Bracca's skin is cool like the carrier. He's in there, somewhere, under the handsome soldier face. Motives, aspirations, convictions, the knotwork of feeling that makes a person. John can almost see it, but he doesn't look too close. He may have to kill him. Nah, he says, pushing himself away from his tiny reflections in Bracca's eyes. It's okay. I know you only want me for my mind. He pats Bracca's cheek and moves to go, but checks himself. Leans back into the alcove to waggle the bracelet so the indicator lights trace a hectic pattern across Bracca's face. And tell your boss, if he wants his kicks, he'll have to get them the old-fashioned way. Thanks for the offer, though. John sits on the rim of the module's cockpit and watches Scorpius through the control room window. He's pacing, rabid in his contained way, all teeth and two human eyes. While he listens to Crace read the riot act from Talon's Bridge. Erin is moving purposefully among the peacekeepers, like all the other purposeful peacekeepers, only in a different direction. In a cell, Moya's crew awaits. They all came with him, hostages to fortune. Talon gathers himself at the carrier's heart. When he starbursts, John feels a collapsing space inside his chest. He wonders if Scorpius can feel that too. John is very quiet. No one touches him now. Shh, listen, Erin had said. The room was false. The world was false. Around them the ambient sounds were generic midnight cityscape. Every place he'd ever been laid awake in a strange bed. A wash of memory painted by an ancient who had never heard a fire truck siren Doppler into the distance, or a fridge running, or rain chuckling in a drainpipe. But that was real, the triple thud of her heart under his ear. Shh. The end.